All right, good morning. Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. It's Thanksgiving Sunday, 2022, and we're continuing our journey through Numbers. We're going to finish up with Numbers today, beginning with Numbers chapter 32. We're going to talk about the land of Gilead, the half-tribes, dividing the land, driving out the inhabitants, borders, ethnic loyalty, and murder. So strap in, open up to Numbers 32, and here we go. Now, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad had an exceedingly large number of livestock. So when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that it was indeed a place suitable for livestock, the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben came and spoke to Moses and to Eleazar, the priest, and said to the leaders of the congregation, "Hey, this is a land for livestock. We want to live here. We got lots of livestock. This is perfect. I know it's not on the other side of the Jordan, but we want to stay here." Now, where did this land come from? Well, if we go back to Numbers chapter 21, we find that the sons of Israel already defeated this evil race, this evil king, this evil nation, this evil culture. Numbers 21:34. "So they turned and went up by the way of Bashan and Og," evil kings, evil culture, Satan worshipers by another name. "They went up by the way of Bashan and Og, the king of Bashan, and they went out with all the people to the battle of Edrei. And the Lord said, 'You shall do to them as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites.' So they killed him and his sons and all his people until there was no remnant left and they possessed the land." So they slaughtered him. They wiped him out. They were an evil people. Evil culture, evil religion. So that's where this land originally came from. They originally drove out the inhabitants in chapter 21. And now we're in chapter 32. The sons of Israel turned around and they had to wander somewhere in the wilderness. And they came back and say, "Hey, all this land here that we already defeated them, we want to stay here." Now, this posed a little problem. Because if you remember, there was that incident some time back where the sons of Israel scouted out the promised land. 12 of the spies went in. 10 came back and said, "It's too strong. We can't do it. We should stay over here or go back to Egypt." And God was wroth. He said, "I'm going to drive you into the wilderness. I'm going to kill every one of you. And you all are going to die over the next 40 years. You're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because you're too afraid to go in and possess what I gave you to possess. You don't have faith that I can make it happen." So Moses is hearing this from the sons of Reuben, and he's going, "Oh, God, didn't we just go through this? Didn't we just go through this, guys?" So the sons of Reuben are saying, "If we found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Don't take us across the Jordan." Moses says, "Shall your brothers go to war while you yourselves sit it out? This is what your fathers did. They discouraged the sons of Israel so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given to them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander the wilderness for 40 years until the entire generation of those who had done evil in the sight of the Lord was destroyed." So Moses is reminding the sons of Reuben of this. "Look, we just went through this because you were afraid to go across, you were afraid to go into the promised land. So the Almighty was angry, and he destroyed that entire generation. And now you're starting up with this stuff again?" Numbers 32, verse 14. "Now behold, you have risen up in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to add still more to the burning anger of the Lord against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will once more abandon them in the wilderness, and he will destroy these people." So not a good situation. So the sons of Reuben and Gad, they had a little huddle, a little head shed. They went back to Moses, and here's what they said. "We will build sheepfolds for our livestock and cities for our children. But we men will be armed and ready before the sons of Israel until we brought them to their place. We'll cross over ahead of them," they said, "in full battle array, and we'll go before them, and we won't come home until we've brought them to your place. We will not return home until every one of the sons of Israel has possessed their inheritance." For we will not have an inheritance with the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side of the Jordan to the east. Sounds like a deal. So Moses gave to them, to the sons of God, and to the sons of Reuben, and the half-tribe of Joseph's son Manasseh, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan. All right? Now, you say, well, wait a minute. They're not the natives. They're going to go over and take over the natives' land? Yes, they were. If you're Canadian, they say, well, wait a minute. They're not the First Nations. The First Nations have the right to all that land. You're wrong. God didn't like those people. And he told the sons of Israel to go kill them and take their land. Oh, that's what would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? This is what Jesus did. Who do you think was commanding Moses? It was Jesus Christ pre-incarnation. It wasn't a different God. It was the same God. It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. It was Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The source and origin of all things and the destiny and purpose of all things is Jesus Christ. John the Baptist says, before I was born, he already existed. And we know that John the Baptist was older by, I think, 3 months than Jesus Christ. And he says, this guy's been around for a long, long time. He incarnated when Jesus Christ was born. This is God in the flesh. That's why it's called the incarnation. So yes, this is our Jesus Christ. And no, you're right. He doesn't look like Jesus Christ 2.0 that the evangelical church has invented so as to keep Jesus Christ from being offensive to Satan and the Antichrist and the seed of the serpent and the brood of vipers. You're right. It doesn't look like what the evangelical church preaches these days. But it's what the Holy Scripture says he is. But the evangelicals have gone the way of the Talmud people and said, oh, we don't like that God. We're going to invent man-made traditions. And we're going to say that God changed when Jesus Christ was incarnated. And we're going to say that Jesus didn't really say what he said in Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, John 8:44. Because we want him to be inoffensive to the brood of vipers, inoffensive to the seed of the serpent, inoffensive to the Antichrist. I got news for you. Jesus Christ is the same God, and he is God, that told the sons of Israel, go in there and wipe them out. Go in there and slaughter them. Oh, that's not very nice. Hey, here's the deal. You need to get on the side of Jesus Christ. Not fight him. Get on his side. Surrender to him. Don't battle him. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't deny him. Don't reinvent him. Well, he sounds like he's really mean. I don't. It doesn't matter. I mean, you think this is bad? This is nothing. Wait till the judgment day. It's Jesus Christ who said, wide is the way, and broad is the path that goes to destruction, and many are those that go that way. Many are those that go that way. Narrow is the way, and fewer find it that leads to life. That's Jesus Christ. He's not a Unitarian Universalist. Jesus Christ is not a Unitarian Universalist, and the evangelical church is turning into that. They're saying that people that explicitly reject Jesus Christ somehow are God's chosen people. That's insanity. That's utter insanity. That's an Antichrist idea. Anyway, back to Numbers. For we will not have an inheritance on the other side of the Jordan beyond, because the inheritance has fallen to us on this side of the Jordan to the east. So Moses gave to them and to the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben and the half-tribe of Joseph's son Manasseh, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, and the kingdom of Bashan. All right, what's this half-tribe stuff? What do you mean the half-tribe? I thought there was 12 tribes. Jacob, renamed Israel, has 12 sons. Joseph was one of the sons. How come there's no tribe of Joseph? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 48, and we'll discuss that. If you remember back in Genesis, there was a famine in the land, and Israel says to his sons, go spy out, you know, we're going to starve out there. Go spy out Egypt. Go find out what's going on in Egypt. They go down to Egypt, and lo and behold, Joseph was sold into slavery down there. And Joseph's there, and he greets him. He says, here, I'll take care of you. Here's your land. And so the father, Jacob, goes down there too. And when Jacob's getting ready to die, His son Joseph goes to him, brings his two sons for him to Jacob for the blessing. And here's what Jacob, renamed Israel, said. Now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt shall become, before I came to Egypt, they are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh are mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are mine. But your offspring born after them, they shall be yours. They shall be called by the names of their brothers in the inheritance. All right? So instead of having the 12th tribe be Joseph, the 12th tribe was actually two half-tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. And those two names are the sons of Joseph. Interesting, isn't it? Jacob renamed Israel. You got to be careful when you say Israel. People get all confused because there's a lot of purposeful misinformation on Israel. Jacob, who was renamed Israel, said, I'm going to claim these two sons for myself, and they become the two half-tribes, because you're only going to have 12 tribes. Well, how do you get 12 tribes if there's an extra kid? Well, you have two half-tribes. So you go back to Numbers, and you see where the land is given over to Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Well, there you go. That's the half-tribe. The other half-tribe is Ephraim. Hope that helps out a little bit. Now, Numbers 33 is a recounting of the entire journey through the wilderness. I'm not going to go through that. I'll mention a couple things. There's a place called Elim where they stayed, and the water was good, and they loved it there. And if you go on to, there's a place on the internet where you can go and you can type in a city name and find out how many cities are named Elim. And I think there's four or five in the world that are called Elim. And you can also, there's another site that talks about all the places in the world that are named after Bible names. And this is good, this is right, and this is proper. You can see, I won't tell you, but it's neat to see people naming their towns after places in the Holy Scriptures. Okay, so there's an entire review of the journey there. Numbers 33, verse 50. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, opposite of Jericho. Okay, so they're right on the border, getting ready to cross over. Right on the plains. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan. Now, why do they call it the land of Canaan? Again, we have Noah. He has a son named Ham. Ham has a son named Canaan. The descendants of Canaan settled in this land. The Canadians would say, oh, those are the First Nations. You got to respect them and bow down before them. Well, we're going to see about that. They're the Native Americans. They were the indigenous peoples. And you all create this little idol that you worship, and you bow down and you worship before this idol. Here's what the Almighty says about this. He says, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross this Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all of the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their figured stones, and destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places, and you shall take possession of the land and live in it, for I have given you the land to possess it. Well, that doesn't sound right. What would Jesus do? This is Jesus Christ giving the command. God Almighty didn't change. He says, I'm the same yesterday and forever, and this is the Jesus Christ which I preach. It's the same God. He didn't change. And you can go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can see the same things in there. This guy is, listen, you think it's bad to get killed? Jesus Christ is very specific. Don't fear him who can kill the body. Fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. He's talking about himself. See, don't fear those who kill the body. Fear him who can cast the body and soul into hell. Oh, but Jesus is a nice guy. No, 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 he's not. He's the Son of God. He's the judge of mankind. He's the one that will cast soul and body into hell. Oh, I just thought he just forgave everybody and loved everybody just where they're at. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Do you believe in him? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If you don't, you're going to perish. Your soul and body will be cast into hell. Don't tell me he's a different God. He's not a different God. These people rejected Jesus Christ. These Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected God. Oh, but you have to treat them all the same. Equality is not a Christian idea. Equality is not a biblical principle. Equality is not something that God upholds and offers. He's the Lord God Almighty. He's King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords. He's not anybody's equal. And if you remember what we've done in the last few weeks, when the sons of Israel, including Miriam and Aaron, went to Moses, hey man, you ain't the boss of us. God struck Miriam with leprosy. Said, get out of the camp. You disgust me. Get out of the camp. You're going to be stuck with leprosy for the rest of you. You think you're the same as Moses? There's no equality here. He's the guy that I chose. I speak to him face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And you're equal to him? No, you're not equal to him. And the sons of Dathan, they come up. Moses says, hey, you need to come to see me. And they said, who are you to tell us to come see you? We're not coming to see you. So Moses goes to them, and the earth is opened up, and they're swallowed up alive, and they go down to hell alive. Them, their wives, their kids, their tents, and all their goods. The equality, God tramples all over this idea that everybody's the same. Tramples it over. There's no equality. There's order, and there's hierarchy. The grand narrative talks about order and hierarchy. Adam came first, and then Eve. Adam's the head. In the Holy Scriptures, it's a patriarchal order. Don't flee from it. Don't hide it. Don't apologize for it. Don't camouflage it. Don't layer it over with your traditions of men, which is what the Talmud is. Embrace it and run with it. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, and that's your only choices, by the way. It can only be male or female. There's no gender, trans, whatever. All of Satan's plans are to invert the truth of God. So instead of apologizing for the Holy Scriptures, embrace it and let the demon scream. Let the demon scream. Let him scream and call you racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and antisemitic. Please let them scream. So it hurts their ears. Go into the room and turn the lights up a full blast and let them have their little snake dance and panic attack. Don't you dare apologize for the words of Jesus Christ or the character of Jesus Christ. Embrace it. Brag about it. Be bold about it. Oh, it's going to offend somebody. Yeah, so what? It's part of Christ's identity. That's part of the identity of Jesus Christ, to be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. He even told this to John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, are you really the guy? I mean, I know what I said when I baptized you. I got that, but are you really it? Guys, you got to understand this. You got to embrace this. Jesus sends a message back. He said, hey, blessed are those that don't stumble over me. Blessed are those that are not offended by me, Jesus Christ said. He's the stone of stumbling. He's the rock of offense. Even apparently in the evangelical church, he's a rock of offense and a stone that people stumble over. Well, I just can't do this because Jesus is racist and sexist and homophobic and transphobic and queerphobic and intolerant and divisive and he's anti-Semitic. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And people get around this by doing what the Talmud people did. They said, we don't like what the written scripture said, so we're going to reinterpret them with our oral traditions and say, oh, it doesn't really mean that, or they just don't talk about it. It's the same evil, demonic, satanic path that the Talmud people went down. And the church bends over backwards to be inoffensive to the Antichrist. And they are traitors to Jesus Christ. All right. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Okay, so they had to go in there and wipe out the people. Okay, cultural annihilation. Cultural annihilation. Oh, you have to be sensitive and diverse with different cultural values. No, take their demon statues and burn them. Take their altars that they've sacrificed live human babies to Satan on and destroy them utterly. Wipe that stuff out. Get rid of that stuff. Well, that's not diverse and culturally tolerant. You're right, it's not. You're right, it's not. How come your values come from Satan and not from the Word of God? All right. You shall inherit the land according to your families. So you got the big land, right? And then you've got the subland, the land divided. I should put a map up in here. But it's not just one big nation with no internal borders. No, there's the 11 tribes and the two half tribes. They all have their own portion. They all have their own portion. Even within the nation, the land is divided, and they have ethnic loyalty to their tribal ancestors. Well, that sounds xenophobic, and that sounds racist. Hey, your values, your understanding of right and wrong needs to come from the scriptures and not fight the holy scriptures. I got it. Your background is just as mixed up as mine. I don't care. You don't change the scriptures to meet your situation. You embrace the scriptures regardless of your situation and say, this is the truth. This needs to be to frame my mind. This needs to frame my narrative. This needs to be my foundation of truth. They were given a land. They drove out the First Nations. They destroyed their satanic culture. And then with the big land, they divided it up with borders for the 12 tribes. And they said, the bigger the tribe, the more land they get. The smaller the tribe, the less land they get. It divided up by lots. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. This is ethnic-based political and territorial organization. Well, that sounds racist. Where's that word in the Holy Scriptures? Where's that word? It's not there. Y'all invent oral traditions that you try to lay over the Word of God. It's exactly what's going on. Well, I think it's wrong to hate people. That's fine. Then phrase it in those terms. We shouldn't hate other people. That's fine. But what does hate mean? Now you're getting into emotion. Well, you got to have an emotion? And as soon as you deconstruct it, it falls all apart. Now, I should get into deconstruction. It's a great, this is what the Antichrist forces have done to Christian civilization. They've deconstructed it. Okay, they've deconstructed it. Now you call it culture, Marxist, social deconstruction, literary deconstruction, and people talk about this in grad school. How about the deconstruction of the Antichrist ideas? I'm fine with that term, but it needs to work the other way. We need to deconstruct the Antichrist narrative, the Antichrist values, the Antichrist morality, the Antichrist system. And it needs to start, you go after these words, racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic. Deconstruct those. Rip them to pieces. So what does that even mean? What does racist even mean? And I ask my kids this. I ask my wife this. And you start digging into this, and it's like, it gets really tricky really, really quickly. And I'm like, you mean to tell me I owe some people an emotion equal to that which I owe to my wife and my kids and my ancestors? How does that make any sense? And I say, look, I love my children more than any other children of anybody else on the face of the earth. They're my children. I love them, and I prefer them more than anybody else. And I'm now going to be accused of racism? And people, they don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. Because this is what it comes down to. It's the fifth commandment. It comes down to the fifth commandment. That's why Jesus Christ went after the traditions of the elders. He goes right to the fifth commandment. You honor your ancestors. You honor your ancestors. Oh, you can't do that because that's racist. Jesus Christ said, you speak evil of your ancestors, you need to be put to death. You calling them racist, that's cursing your ancestors. Well, this is what I'm talking about. You want to deconstruct the ideas of the Antichrist and call him the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist, he who rejects the Father and the Son, he who denies that the Christ has already come in the flesh. That's the definition of the Antichrist. Figure out who those people are. Figure out what that movement is. Figure out what that religion is or religions. It all comes from the same source, Satan. Jesus Christ is the rock of stumbling. He's the stone of offense. Okay, it all comes down to Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. And even the evangelical church tries to say, well, no, it's not about Jesus Christ. We're all the sons of God. We're all of the faith of Abraham. No, wrong. Beep. Lie. That's this antichrist satanic idea. It all comes down to Jesus Christ. You either acknowledge the Father and the Son and acknowledge that the Christ has already come in the flesh, or that's antichrist. Well, you're making it really hard. Hey, I didn't write the book. I didn't write the book. I didn't say what Jesus, I say what Jesus said, but he's the one that said it. I just say what the man said, what the God said, what the Creator said. It's not our job to apologize and cover up what Jesus Christ said. It's to embrace what he said and build it into our hearts and go out and speak it to the world. You turn the light on and let the demon scream. All right. Numbers 33, verse 55. But if you do not drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, it shall come about that those whom you left let remain of them will become as pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. All right. If you don't deal with this and you don't drive them out, they're going to be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. It's not going to go well for you. And there's this Antichrist idea out there that somehow we're going to have no nations and no borders. Everybody's a child of God. Everybody's of the faith of Abraham. This is an Antichrist idea. And God said, you do this, they're going to become pricks in your sides. And this is exactly what's happening in the United States. We said, oh, well, we just have to be diverse and tolerant and let everybody else in. Well, guess what? Now you preach what I'm preaching and the Antichrist gets mad at you. And next thing you know, you're facing consequences. And these big churches that don't face any consequences, they got thousands of people, guess what? They've already bent the knee to the Antichrist. They've already bent the knee. They've already said, okay, Antichrist, we won't say what you tell us not to say, and we will only say what you want us to say. And that way they're not persecuted. We want to be diverse and tolerant, and we're going to exalt a people who've explicitly rejected Jesus Christ. And we're going to bless that people who are, in fact, meet the definition of Antichrist. They deny the Father and the Son. They deny that the Messiah has already come in the flesh. Why does the church do that? I could blame it on deception. How about the fear of man? How about the fear of the Antichrist? How about going back to the fact that Jesus Christ is the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense, including to Christians, even Judeo-Christians? They're not even Christians. They're Judeo-Christians. This is the big split. I'm telling you right now, this is the big split. Figure this out, folks. And the way you do this, you go back and you read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And you're like, oh my God, is that a different God? No, it's not. It's Jesus Christ. It's the same God. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that spoke to Moses. It's Jesus Christ that spoke to Joshua. It's Jesus Christ that spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, renamed Israel. It's Jesus Christ that wrestled with Jacob out there and renamed him Israel. That was Jesus Christ who he wrestled. Jacob said, I've seen the face of God and I still live. Who do you think Adam and Eve talked to? Jesus Christ is the creator. John chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1. He's the creator. He is the Lord. He's the Lord. And he says, no man has seen the Father except the Son. Well, then who do these people see? They saw Jesus Christ, pre-incarnation. If you don't drive out the inhabitants, they're going to become pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And I will trouble you in the land in which you live. Oh, that sounds like it's not very diverse and tolerant and accepting. All are welcome. You're right, it's not. Embrace it. Don't hide it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't run from it. Don't cover up with your teachings. Oh, that's just for thousands of years ago. That doesn't apply anymore. No, 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 no. The Word of God is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. He never changed. Are you saying you should be intolerant? Yes, 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 I am. Actually, I am. Oh, I got a problem with it, you say. You say, oh, I got a problem. I don't believe in intolerance. Well, then why do you have an opinion? Why are you contrary to me if you don't think you should be intolerant? You're intolerant to me if you disagree with me. Well, I just think it's wrong to impose your morality on other people. Then be quiet. Close your mouth. Don't tell me what I can and cannot say if that's really what you believe. That's why you're hypocrites. That's why you and the Pharisees are hypocrites. I'm not speaking to my listeners because you're good people. But this is where these people go, these Judeo-Christians. These social justice warriors, they're hypocrites like the Pharisees were. They're out there killing people in the name of stopping hate. They're out there demonizing people in the name of spreading love. When somebody calls you racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, and anti-Semitic, those are designed to demonize you and strip you of any protections that any normal man would have. He's a Hitler. Psst. He's a Nazi. Psst. Okay, and this is what they did to Jesus Christ. Please remember, this is what they did to Jesus Christ. He's insane and he has a demon, they said over and over. He's insane and he has a demon, and they plotted to kill him. And somehow the evangelical church thinks that Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts don't apply anymore. It's the same story. It's the same people, if you'll accept being that people. It's the same people who are loyal to Jesus Christ, if you'll be loyal to Jesus Christ and not hide him and be ashamed of him and lock him in the back closet because he offends the Antichrist. Well, I don't know if I can accept what you're saying. That's fine. Then go your own way. That's fine. A lot of people can't. Most people can't. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and fewer those who find it. Jesus Christ said, "Hey, on the judgment day, many come to you. Hey, Lord, Lord, didn't we call you Lord, Lord, and do many things in your name?" He's going to say, "Get away from me! I don't even know who you are." Because they even invented a new Jesus Christ, or ashamed of who Jesus Christ is. They literally worship the Antichrist, and they prayed around as if they're better than Jesus Christ. They're more righteous than Jesus Christ. They're the Pharisees. I don't care if you got a cross around your neck. You're a Judeo-Christian. All right. "This is the land that shall fall to you as an inheritance, even the land of Canaan, according to its borders." All right. God believes in borders. The Almighty designed borders. Remember, the first borders were at Eden. He planted a garden in Eden. Eden, E-D-E-N. And when they kicked out Adam and Eve, he put an armed border guard at the border of Eden. Armed border guard. First armed border guard in history. Goes right back to Genesis. Oh, nope, nobody coming in here. So we sent him to this land. The land had borders. Numbers 34, verse 13. "This is the land that you were apportioned by lot among you as a possession, which as the Lord has commanded to give to the 9.5 tribes. For the tribe of the sons of Reuben have received theirs according to their fathers' households, and the tribe of the sons of Gad according to their fathers' households, and the half tribe of Manasseh, they have received their possession." Okay, here's a couple of things. One is borders. Number two, patriarchal political organization. Number three, ethnic identity based on their ancestry. Oh, I don't know about that. Well, here's the Holy Scriptures. Now, ultimately, our identity is in Jesus Christ. Yes, that is true. But that just establishes it all the more. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us of sin. We're the children of God because of blood. We're the children of God based on blood, based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Outside of that blood, we're not. Oh, that sounds racist. That's what I'm saying. You need to deconstruct the Antichrist ideas and realize that salvation is based on blood. And when you hear a term like racist, you need to deconstruct that term. Salvation is based on blood. We are the children of God. They are not. Not everybody's the child of God. Go read John chapter 8. Jesus Christ is facing off with the Talmud people. They said, "We're the sons of Abraham." And Jesus says, "If you're the sons of Abraham, you would believe in me." He says, "You are of your father, the devil." John 8:44. Well, that's not very Christian. Jesus would never say that. No, that was actually Jesus Christ that said that. Now, in Jesus Christ, there's no slave or free, male or female, Greek nor Jew, in Jesus Christ. Okay, and we're perfectly cleansed and we're the perfect children of God through Jesus Christ. But you don't have unisex bathrooms just because it says that in Galatians 3:28. There's no male. You don't do that. All right, moving along. "These are those whose the Lord commanded to apportion the inheritance of the sons of Israel in the land of Canaan." All right, Numbers 35. We're coming to a close. He apportioned cities for the Levites, 48 cities. Okay, and he says the land around the cities you're going to use for your pasture land. Then he says, of the 48 cities, 6 will be cities of refuge. There's going to be 3 on the east side of the Jordan, 3 on the west side of the Jordan. And he talks about murder, talks about murderers. He says, look, there's 2 kinds of ways people die. 1 is accidentally, and 2 is murder. All right, let's say you're building a house and you're up there on the third story and you're resting some big old cinder block and you got the whole area fenced down beneath it so nobody can get in. But some knucklehead said, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to go steal their hammers and their saws. And he goes in there and somebody accidentally, truly and truly accidentally drops a cinder block on their head and crushes their skulls and kills them. That's not with malice aforethought. That's manslaughter. And the Bible says those men need to flee to one of these cities of refuge and stay there until the chief priest dies. And stay there until the congregation judges them and takes them to trial to see whether or not they did it on purpose or not. And if it was absolutely an honest accident, well, they get to go back to their land. If it wasn't an accident and they laid in wait for them and he hated that man and he purposely dropped that stone on his head to kill him, you're even to take him from the altar. You're even to take him from the cities of refugee and kill that man. And who's supposed to kill him? The blood avenger of that man. So, for example, if somebody kills my brother, I become the blood avenger. Either that or the father becomes the blood avenger. And I kill that man. Oh, I don't know about that. That sounds crazy. Well, look at our justice system today. You lock men in solitary confinement for years on end. That ain't right. That ain't right at all. You got these mass gulags. We've become as bad as the old Soviet Union. We've got these mass gulags. People in jail and say, oh, well, they committed a crime. Well, there's a better way to do justice. And the Hebrew scriptures talk about this. And no, it's not the kind of quote-unquote justice system we have today. It is different. But that's why we're given the examples. If a person who kills a man unintentionally shall flee there, it shall be as a refuge from the avenger so that the manslayer shall not die till he stands trial before the congregation. Anyone who kills a man unintentionally must flee. You got to go, man. But the murderer shall surely be put to death. The blood avenger himself shall put the murderer to death when he meets them. If anyone kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death at the evidence of witnesses, but no person shall be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Every fact must be established by two or three witnesses. Also says you shall not take a ransom for the life of a murderer. So let's say little Johnny kills little Stevie. Well, let's just say they're adults, okay? John kills Steve. And the widow or the family says, hey, you know, you're a rich guy, just fork over $1 million, we'll call it good. God said, no, nope, that's not acceptable, that's not okay. So you shall not pollute the land in which you are. For blood pollutes the land, and no expiation can be made for the land for the blood that is shed on it, except by the blood of him who shed it. There's no murder pollutes the land. What do you think abortion's done to the United States of America? Abortion is simply the age-old worship of Moloch. Thousands of years old. It's the sacrifice to Satan of the most innocent human beings, the most innocent of the image of God. Abortion is the exact same thing. It's not different. It's not a different religion. Oh, but they don't talk about Moloch. No, it's the same. It's the same. And that blood pollutes the land. And there's only one way to satisfy and make expiation for that blood. It's the blood of the murderers. Blood that are guilty. Who's crying out for the blood of the children? Or is there silence in the land? Makes us all guilty. All right. One more thing to talk about. Inheritance by marriage. So there's these daughters, and their father passed away, left no sons, and they go to Moses and say, look, dad died, you got no sons, are you telling us we can't inherit his stuff? Moses said, yeah, you can inherit his stuff. So then they're going into the promised land, and they say, if we get married, now who owns our stuff? Let's say we're of the tribe of Gad, and we marry somebody from the tribe of Judah. Then all of a sudden the tribe of Judah is going to own our stuff when we pass away. And the land belongs to somebody else. So here's what Moses said. Let them marry whomever they wish. Only they must marry within the tribe of their father. So what they did is they married the sons of Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. And the inheritance remained within the tribe of the family of the father. Now, what is this designed to do? I want you to deconstruct the terms and ideology of the Antichrist. Just like they've deconstructed Western Christian European civilization. That's exactly what they've done. They've deconstructed it portion by portion, piece by piece. There's no nations. There's no borders. There's no genders. There's no sexes. There's no right. There's no wrong. There's no Ten Commandments. They've utterly deconstructed it. We need to turn the tables on them and understand what they're doing. Understand that the terms they're using are terms of guilt manipulation. They're terms of hatred. They're terms of demonization. They're terms of inversion, where they invert the narrative of the Holy Scriptures and oppose the exact opposite. This is why Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are so exceedingly important. They establish the grand narrative. So you can see in time, in history, in the Scriptures, the difference between right and wrong. And when somebody comes along to you and says, well, it's racist to have borders, and just laugh at them. You literally mock them and laugh at them. Because you have a background from Sunday school saying, no, borders are God's order. Borders are good. Having the nation, God's the one himself that made the nations. Male and female are good. Marriage is good. Having a bunch of children is good. Agriculture is good. And you deconstruct what the Antichrist has built. And let them scream. Let them howl. Let them call you the dirty names. What kind of dirty names do they call Jesus? He's insane and he has a demon. The only reason they don't call Christians that is because Christians have already bent the knee to the Antichrist. That's why. The church has bent the knee to the Antichrist. Oh, we don't want to offend the Antichrist. In fact, they call an Antichrist people. It boggles my, the more I think about it, the more it boggles my mind. How can you call that which God called Antichrist, somehow call them the blessed of God? Go read Revelation 2:9. Go read Revelation 3:9. And John, 1 John 2:22, 2 John 11, 7 through 11. It says, don't even give them a greeting, otherwise you participate in their evil deeds. So this is a civilizational project. And my goal is to seed these ideas in Christians so that it could be preached from the pulpit or not the pulpit. Preached from a blog, preached from a podcast. Shared person to person, because you're not going to rebuild a house based on the sand. And God bless all the patriots and the conservatives out there that are trying to, they know it's something's wrong out there and they're trying to make a difference, but you cannot rebuild a house on the sand. The reason that our house has fallen, the reason the house of the United States has fallen, the reason the house of Canada and Australia and New Zealand and the reason of Christendom has fallen is because we went the way of the Talmud people and we replaced the word of God with the traditions of men. We chipped away at the foundation, at the rock. Now it's a house built on sand and it's falling apart. And you're not going to rebuild it. You're not going to go back 50 years or 100 years and rebuild it based on sand. The only way is on the Word of God, on the words of the Holy Scripture, all the way back even into Numbers like we're talking about today. And we're going to build Christian nations. But it has to be built on the rock. Happy Thanksgiving. Fritz Bergen on bloodandfaith.com. Out.